Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. As I was just backstage a moment ago, and Scott and the band had gotten to that point to where the instruments kind of cut out, and we just heard y'all's voices, and it was amazing to hear that. It was amazing to hear moms and dads, and I could hear the kids' voices as well singing in that, and it's such a beautiful sound of families having the opportunity to be able to worship together, and I'm excited to be able to share with you this morning what God has laid on my heart. Pastor Michael, happy birthday to you again, and that's right, we can give him a happy clap. Pastor Michael, I will not ask you to do what we ask the children to do in children's ministry or the students to do in student ministry. It goes something like this, congregation. If it's one of their birthday and they are here on that day, they get to come up front. We sing happy birthday and we make them spin in circles until we are done singing happy birthday to them. And if we really want them to get dizzy, we sing slowly as possible. But we're not going to do that to you. But if y'all want to wish Pastor Michael a happy birthday a little later on this today, he will definitely appreciate that as well. Well, I am so excited to be able to be with you this morning and to be able to share with you, as I said, what God has laid on my heart. And something happened in about the year 2007. In the year 2007, in about June of 2007, this thing came out. And I know that for some of the kids in this room, you weren't alive in 2007, but it's still important to your life. And that important thing that came out was this Apple iPhone. That was like the first iPhone that came out, right? It was the first time that like kind of smart technology really took off. Now, there were other smartphones before that, if you had a BlackBerry or anything like that. But Apple was the one that really revolutionized that. And all of a sudden, we decided to take this idea of a smartphone and we tried to put it into other things in our lives as well, right? We started to think about what are some other areas that we could make things smart. And so we went inside and we got to the thermostat, right? We thought we can make a smart thermostat. And I can control my thermostat by my app on my phone, and if I'm away, I can turn it off, and if I'm coming back home, I can get the temperature just right so that when I arrive home, it'll be nice and cool for me. And we got to this point to where we had smart thermostats. And then a few years ago, I had a friend of mine that was somewhere, and we were at his house, and he starts messing with his light switch, and he's like, hey, watch this. And it was like smart like lights and all this sort of stuff. And then we've moved on from there. We got to smart doorbells, right? Because we want to know who's coming to the door, stranger danger kind of thing, right? We want to be able to talk to the person before so we don't have to get up off the couch eating our Cheetos and like be like, no, I don't want your stuff that you're selling. Go on, right? And so we started to move on to that. And so we've created this whole idea of all these different smart things, right? And we've created all kinds of different smart things like the smart car. I don't think that was a very smart thing that we created, but it was also just this idea of creating something smart. I think that's a death trap, actually, but that's just my opinion. And then the latest one that I've heard recently is the smart refrigerator, right? You think about the smart refrigerator, and I don't know exactly why it's called a smart refrigerator. I've not had one. If you have one, awesome, good for you. But it's just one of those things of like, I mean, if it can like order my groceries for me and deliver the groceries and have them appear in my refrigerator, that would be awesome, but I don't think that's kind of how that works. The one piece of smart technology that I really would love for somebody to come up with is like a washing machine that I could put all my clothes in. It would wash them, dry them, and fold them. It would be tremendous. It would be one of those things that I'd be like, man, that is the best thing. You know, over the past few years, we've looked at smart technology and we've begun to bring that into the home. And the home is a very important place to us. Like for me, when I was growing up, my mom had a thing on the wall, kind of probably like what's on the screen here, that says, home is where the heart is, right? Home is where the heart is. And home is a very, very important thing to us. It's not just the building that we live in or the place that we live, the wood and the stucco and all those type of things, but it's a home. It's the people that are there. And we identify home as well in some other areas of our lives as in other areas of pop culture. You know, Philip Phillips, he wrote this song of going to make this place your home, right? That was the whole idea of like, we're going to make home. We're going to make this place your home. And then if you're really old like me, I remember riding in the back seat of my dad's car, and he would throw in his tape into the tape deck, and Alabama would come on. And it was saying, "My home's in Alabama, no matter where I lay my head." Although we were from North Carolina, so we changed the words, and it was, "My home's in North Carolina, no matter where I lay my head." And it was this whole idea of home. And what I want us to look at this morning is this, is how can our homes truly be smart? Now, I'm not talking about technology, but as followers of Jesus, how can our homes be smart? How can they be centered on and focused on Christ? So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn with me into Psalm chapter 127. And as we look at this this morning, I want us to think about this real quick. Home is the foundation of all of our society. Home is the foundation of all of our society. Everything kind of revolves around home. But society is now attacking the home. And so as followers of Jesus, how can we be wise? How can we have smart homes together? And so if you've gotten to Psalm chapter 127, before we dive into the scripture this morning, I want us to kind of give us the background of what's going on. Now, I was doing a devotional a few months ago on the Psalms of Ascent. And so this is titled as one of the Psalms of Ascent. And the whole idea was it was a series of psalms, a series of songs or poems that were sung or recited as people went up the hill in Jerusalem to temple to worship. And so this was a series of songs or poems or songs that were sung as people went up to worship. And it was written, the psalm, this particular psalm, was written by King Solomon. Now, many of you know King Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. And I think, number one, he was wise because he prayed and God granted him wisdom. But he also didn't make always the best decisions. And so I think some of his wisdom as well kind of came on the back end of making a bad decision and realizing, hey, watch out for this. And a lot of his wisdom literature is recorded in the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. And Pastor Michael just finished up a series last year through the book of Ecclesiastes where over and over and over again he said, vanity upon vanity, meaningless and meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And it was like one of those things where you're just like, wah, wah, wah. Like it's just downer, right? And when we get into this psalm here in just a moment, it starts off with that a little bit. And as we read through the psalm, we're going to read the first two verses, and they're going to seem like we're in one direction, and the last three verses are in a different direction. But if you stick with me, we'll see how they all interconnect and see how they all come together. And so we're in Psalm chapter 127. We're going to start in verse 1. It says this, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. In vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food. Yes, he gives sleep to the one he loves. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Happy is the man who has filled his quiver with them. They will never be put to shame when they speak with their enemies at the city gate." Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to worship together as families. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to sing together. And Father, I pray that as we look at this idea of a smart home, Father, I pray that we'll be challenged to be parents, to be kids, to be followers of you who seek to glorify you in everything that we do. Father, I pray that you'll just help me to be less, that you might be more. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So from this passage of scripture, I want us to see three different truths this morning as we get through this. And kids, if you have your worship bulletin, there's going to be a place for you to take some notes as well. And if you want to write down the words, that's awesome. If you want to just draw the pictures, I got some pictures for you as well. Okay, so the first truth that I want you guys to see this morning is that smart homes are built and cared for by God. Smart homes are built and cared for by God. Smart homes are built and cared for by God. So kids, if you're wanting to draw a picture with that, draw a house, and you can put a cross in the middle of the house. Smart homes are built and cared for by God. Let's look again at verses 1 and 2. It says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain." Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. In vain you get up early, working hard to have enough food. Yes, he gives sleep to the ones that he loves. See, Solomon starts off this psalm, and he starts off with this idea of working, of trying to do something on our own strength and in our own power. And he gets to this point and he says, hey, look, this whole idea of all these things that you're working for, all these things that you're trying to build for, all these things that you're trying, all these different ways that you're trying to build up your home, it's all vanity. It's all useless. It's all meaningless. And you're like, man, this is a horrible message, right? Unless the Lord is the one that is building it. Unless the Lord is the one that is helping build that home. Then he goes on, because some of us are really good builders anyway. And he says, unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. Unless the Lord is the one watching over the home, unless the Lord is the one watching over everything, we're going to work and we're going to worry and we're going to be anxious and we're going to be stressed out about all these different things. He says, and we get up early in vain, we stay up late in vain, and find no rest. But then in the last part of this verse, 2, he says, yes, he gives sleep to the one that he loves. You see, smart homes are built and cared for by God. And we have to allow God to build and guide our lives. You see, if we're really going to have a Christian home that is smart, if we're going to really have a designed home by God that is smart, a smart home, we have to allow God to be the one that's building it. We have to allow God to be the one that's going to watch over it. And we don't have to be anxious, and we don't have to be worried. We don't have to work tirelessly. We can trust and put our trust in the fact that God is the one building. God is the one watching over our home. But so many times we do it the opposite way. We work and we bless, and we work and we do all these things, and we say, "Hey God, see this right here? Can you put your stamp of blessing on it?" And so many times we're guilty of that instead of resting in Him. You see, God doesn't want us to work tirelessly. God doesn't want us to work in anxiousness. He doesn't want us to continue to push and push and stay up late and get up early. He wants us to find rest in Him. That's why in Matthew 7, verse 24, as Jesus was finishing up the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded the house, yet it didn't collapse because the foundation was on the rock." It was based on Him. It was based on God. And moms and dads, all the worry that you have of your home, of business, right here, he's saying it's in vain unless we put our trust and faith in God to allow Him to lead it. The kids that we have, the family that we have, all the anxious thoughts that we have towards, what's the future hold for them? If we're building a home that's really centered on Christ, if we're building a home that's really centered on Him, and allowing God to build that home in our lives, we can trust Him that He is the one that's going to watch over them, that He is the one that's going to lead them to the place where they need to be. We can do our part. And those kids, moms and dads, those kids that are sitting right next to you right now, they're looking to you. And they're going to follow your example. And moms and dads, they need, more than anything, those kids need to see you putting your faith and trust in Him. Smart homes are built and cared for by God. The second thing is this, is that smart homes are designed around families. Smart homes are designed around families. Kids, y'all can, for your second drawing there, just draw a stick configure family. It goes on in verse 3. It says, sons or children are indeed a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, they're a reward. Smart homes are designed around families. You see, if God's going to bless our family, if God's going to be the one that's going to build our homes, if God's going to be the one that's going to watch over our homes, there also, God has given then you, parents, a job. And that job is this heritage. That job is your assignment. And moms and dads, your assignment are your children. More than anything else that you can do in this life, any business deal, any company that you could build, more than anything, activity that you could pursue, the thing that matters the most are your children. And smart homes are designed around families. They're not designed around the children, okay? They're designed around families. And mom and dad, you're the head of that family. But moms and dads, they're designed around those things. The heritage is your assignment, and this is your greatest task that you have. The greatest task that I have is not serving as pastor at North River Church. The greatest task that I have are my three children and helping them to love and follow after Jesus with all their heart. That's the greatest task that I have. And the moms and dads, the greatest task that you have is the same for your children. And if you're a grandparent or an aunt or uncle in this room, your job then is to help your children be able to accomplish their task or help your cousins be able to accomplish that task as well. Because moms and dads, we need help sometimes, right? It's difficult. It's hard. But smart homes are designed around families. This week, as I was preparing this message on Thursday, I was scrolling through Facebook, and Linda Carr posted this quote that I was like, I got to use that. I mean, I just given her credit. She didn't put who the credit was, so I'm giving her the credit for this, okay? But it says, it was a quote that she wrote down. It says, as a parent, it's my priority to help you get to heaven, not Harvard. Just think about that for a second. Moms and dads, your greatest priority is not your kid to get a scholarship to college. Your greatest priority is not to get your kid in all the activities possible that they could be a part of, because there's thousands of things for them to get to be a part of. Your greatest priority is to help them understand that there's a God who loves them, that there's a God who wants to have a relationship with them, that there's a God who has made a way for them to get to heaven. And moms and dads, I didn't think about this until I was preparing this message. You know, I've always heard this idea that, like, you can't take any of it with you, right? And we always think of that in, like, our money and our fame and all these different things. But you can't take one thing with you. Hopefully it'll be many years after you get to heaven. But the thing that you can take with you are your children. And your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. And the only way that you will be able to see that happen is if you make families a priority, if you make your children the priority in your home. Not that they're the central place in your home, but you take the idea of putting them in places where they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ and pouring into them and teaching them and discipling them. Because they are your greatest assignment. One of the things that we've seen over the past few weeks is all these parents that have, like, faked their way to their kids getting into college, right? And it's kind of sad, and I've seen a lot of parents that have been very frustrated by that. They're like, well, if that was all I knew, I could have just paid for my kid to go to college and get a scholarship. But parents, even more than that, even more than any of those things, is helping your children understand that there's a God who loves them. Because you can make an impact in their lives. You can make an impact in their lives. That's why Solomon wrote these words in Proverbs 22:6. Start a youth out on his way. Even when he grows old, he'll not depart from it. Parents, we only have a certain amount of time. I know I've shared this with you before. It's about 936 weeks or so, give or take, from the time they're born till they leave, till their 18th birthday. And you have that influence over them. Now, parents, it's important for you to get them to a place to where they can hear the truths, the gospel. But parents, I'm just going to meddle for a minute, okay? When we make church an option, you've shown them that it's an option. See, in our home, church is not an option. And it's not just because I'm a pastor, okay? It's one of those things that it's a priority for our family. And parents, what I want you to understand is that we intentionally try to design places and environments and things for your children to be involved in so that they can grow in that relationship with you. We're here to partner with you in that. But parents, don't just lay back and go, oh, you know, I mean, we brought them some. We started them out in the way that they should go. But if you showed them other options, if you showed them other things, if you said that, hey, it's not as big of a deal as, maybe we didn't vocalize it with our words, but with our actions and with our attendance. Maybe that's hard to hear. And maybe that you would say, yeah, that's legalistic, but listen to me, moms and dads, the greatest thing that we can give our children is a relationship with Jesus, a growing, thriving relationship with Jesus, because it leads us to the next thing. Smart homes are built and cared for by God, and smart homes are designed around families. And last thing is this, is smart homes point others to God. Smart homes point others to God. Kids, for this one, you can just draw an arrow pointing up. Finishing up in verses 4 and 5, it says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver with them, who has filled his quiver with them. They will never be put to shame when they speak with their enemies at the city gate. Smart homes point others to God. Parents, again, understand this. Your children are on loan from God. The children that you are not your children by accident. Okay? The children that you have are not children by accident. God knew and gave you the children that he wanted you to have. And your children are on loan by God. Now it says it here in verse 4, it says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Now just think about this for a second. What do you do with an arrow? Is the purpose of the arrow to stay in the quiver? Is the purpose of the arrow just to hold it in the hand and be like, look at what I got? No, the purpose of the arrow is to knock it on that bow, pull it back, and let it go. Not go with the bow. Let go the wrong way, right? See, I don't do a whole lot of hunting there, but the point is to launch them into the world. To make that impact. And smart homes point others to God, and moms and dads, the children that you have, you are to launch them into the world, to make an impact, to make a difference, not for your name's sake, but for Jesus' name's sake. But the only way that they'll make a difference for Jesus' name's sake is if they have that firm foundation and realizing that they're built and cared for by God. Homes are built and cared for by God. And they're designed around this idea of family. And so moms and dads, our greatest responsibility, our greatest need is to launch our children out to be a light for Him. Not for our glory, not for our benefit, but for the benefit of Jesus, for the benefit of Him and making His name great. And that may mean that they don't necessarily end up close by. That may mean they go somewhere else. But if we've done our job, parents, we can trust that they're going to build a good, solid home as well. We can trust that they're going to be an example to their children as well. And we can celebrate the fact that they are living their lives for Jesus. At the end of verse 5, it says, they'll never be put to shame when they speak with their enemies at the city gate. Because when they go to the city gate, when they go to that place of business, their children are a light. Their children are their example. The children are the ones that they can say, hey, look at what they're doing for Jesus. Look at how they're working. Look at what God's doing in their lives. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. You're the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under the basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. See, moms and dads, families, kids, the goal is not for people to look at you and be like, you're a great parent. The goal is not that. My goal is not for anybody to ever come up to me, and I hope, you know, my kids are good kids, but more than anything, I hope they're godly kids. But my goal and hope is that somebody will say, look at how God is working in their lives. And I can point to places and times in our lives where we prayed together as a family, where we talked through different things as a family, through the hard times, the good times, the sad times, the times of celebration as well. A great missionary, Charles Studd, said this. He said, the light that shines the farthest shines brightest at home. The light that shines the farthest shines brightest at home. Moms and dads, are you letting Jesus shine through your life and through your family? Are you showing your children how they can have a home that is built by God, trusting in God, not anxious about anything, but realizing that God is watching over it? And He's better at it than we could ever be anyway. He really is. So as we wrap up this morning, as the praise team comes back up to lead us in one more song, I just want us to think for a second. Are we allowing God to build our home? Are we allowing God to build our home and realizing that He is the best builder? Or are we working and striving and being anxious about all these things? He wants to give you rest. He can give you rest if you'll allow Him to build the home. Are you pointing your children to Christ? Pointing others to Him, glorifying God with the way that we live our families. You know, one of the greatest things that you could ever do, and the only way that this will work, is if you have that relationship with Him. The only way that you'll have that foundation is if you have that relationship with Him. So if this morning you realize that, you know what, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, Pastor Michael's up here. You can talk to me, you can talk to the person who brought you this morning, you can talk to somebody just sitting around you. And if they don't help you and they look at you like you have three heads, take them to Pastor Michael, okay? But moms and dads, we can do it. Sometimes we just have to be reminded of that. Thank you for what you do, moms and dads. Nobody says thanks for a while. But thank you for the way that you lead your family. Thank you for the impact that you're having in your children's lives. Keep it up. Pursue Him. Seek Him. Allow Him to build your home, watching over your home, providing for you, giving you rest. May your home be a home that glorifies God and launches those children out to make an impact into the world that only they can make. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to open up your word together this morning. And Father, if we're all honest, the task of being a parent is hard. There's times of great joy, but there's also times of great pain. And Father, I pray for the families in this room. I pray that they will make an impact into this community. I pray for these kids. I pray that they'll be future preachers, missionaries, teachers, lawyers, who raise up and live for you. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We just ask that you will just move in our hearts and our lives during this time of response. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.